Welcome to the Ambitious Tribe podcast with your chief encourager, Cassie Pajarillo. It's time to drive ambition and build a better business with a plan that's clear, transformative, progressive, and profitable. Now for your host, Cassie Pajarillo.
Hi, boss. It's Cassie here. Welcome to the another wonderful Ambitious Tribe show where we talk to powerful, driven, and ambitious entrepreneurs. And of course, those who are game changers too of our generation. We're going to process heartfelt messaging, transformation, and of course, movement on today's episode. And it's such a delight because I have such a wonderful human being here with us. She's been the woman who opened most doors for me on making dreams come true, and she knows this immensely. And the woman who also led the amazing mastermind that changed not just my life, but also other friends' lives pre-pandemic at that. So she's a global events coordinator from Mind Valley and now a Wild Fit coach as well. She used to live in Malaysia, but she already moved to another country, which she will talk to us more about it. So ladies and gentlemen, driven and ambitious, we have here Luba Choplay. Hi, Luba.
Congratulations on pronouncing my name well and last name too.
Oh my God, we're friends for so long and I keep on like, my jaw just can't say it. Okay, good.
So whoever is not Russian speaking, you just learned a new word in Russian, which means love, Lyubov. And I'm super grateful to have such a name. And that's what I put into everything I create. And that's why all my creations are so memorable, as Cassie has mentioned. Thank you for having me.
Finally, right? Finally. So the number one question I always ask everybody, who is Lyubov? Many milestones or many moons ago. So it depends whether it's your childhood, when you transition your business, whatever speaks more about you.
As a child, I could never imagine that I would have a life I'm having right now. I'm originally from a very tiny city in the southern part of Ukraine, which is overtaken by Russians right now, Crimea. I grew up in a city of 100,000 people and went to school. And my biggest achievement during school years was teaching, learning English in 2 months of summer because I wanted to be part of the best school in the city. And I knew that it would give me so much opportunities. And that hard work that I put in those 2 months of tutoring and being all summer holidays with books actually describes me a lot of how I am as a person. If I am on something, I really want to make it work. And being very different from what all my friends have been doing after university, and I was studying sociology in university. So I was very curious in human and society behavior and how things change and how we influence where we're heading. So that was very important for me to go into depth of understanding things. I think I found a job according to my specialty. I joined the global platform for education, Mind Valley, and a mission of changing education in the world. And despite of all my friends heading to go to Europe and finding a job in Europe, I went to Asia, where our office is located in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia, and discovered the countries I've seen, in geography lessons on the maps. I remember my friend and I went on a trip to Laos, and we were staying in small village somewhere in mountains, slept on the mattresses in the tiny house, and were part of some ceremonies that changed me a lot. And I think me as a person, I'm like an open book, and everything I try to do in life is being in dialogue with things, making no judgments and seeing. I remember, Cassie, the masterminds we were together with you, remember our participant who was saying, I know nothing. And she was like this old lady who has been married 4 times and had like 10 different businesses she was handling. That's what I'm trying to embrace as a person, just being curious and seeing things from different perspectives, and encouraging people to have dialogue within themselves first and with the people around them so they could have wiser, broader view on life.
And that is such a beautiful story too, is that our perspective really changes when you open up yourself to new things outside your comfort zone. In your case, a lot of people want to go to Europe, and your case, went to Malaysia, and you experience different ways and culture. And I think that it's really pivotal as well when it comes to transformation. Having to have that sense of awareness, eventually knowing that there are differences between the country or the space that you were on, and then you moved into another. Lua, can you just walk us through, because you came from, again, from Europe, which is so much different in some ways, in different ways than in Malaysia. How did it actually change you? Who were you before? What was Lua like before? And then because you moved to Malaysia, it really just...
Yeah. Okay, so for you, you can understand that I'm quite young. I'm 32, and when I moved to Malaysia, I was 22. So eventually, after university, I chose my first job to be overseas. And I was preparing for that move while I was studying at university for a few years. I did a trip to USA as a summer program. I went to work in a hotel. It was not even a Hilton. It was like a small three-star hotel on the Virginia Beach coast by the ocean. And I was housekeeping. So I was cleaning toilets and bathrooms. And I came back after 2 months of working 12 hours a day. That was my first job. I also was a shop assistant and, you know, putting stickers on the boxes at night and waking up at 7, going to sleep at 11 for 2 months. That was the way I made my first money and paid for my flight ticket, bought myself a camera and some other stuff, and did some shopping in New York and was super happy. But I came back and told all of my friends and parents, I'm never gonna work physically to make money. I realized experience that you know, I have a brain capacity and creativity to make money in a different way. So I'm super grateful to that lesson. So I know if anything goes wrong in life, I can go back and do it. I don't feel shame or anything about it, but it's really not the way I should be heading. So one thing, I was and I am super hardworking. And when I moved to Asia, I faced how different other cultures, like Ukraine, where I grew up and studied, the way women are treated and how they build their careers and they're trying to be independent, and how things in Asia could be so different when women can just be home and take care of their kids and be fine, be comfortable with that, you know, not feeling that they are not enough just because they are not working. In Ukraine, it's different. If you are a mother and you're not working, you feel like you're not good enough. So that pressure that society puts on us, it's like super hard. And I'm still working to discover myself more and understand, because I married a man who is from a Muslim tradition, and I converted to Islam myself as well. And his mom raised 8 boys. She has never worked. She has never went to university because she didn't have a chance to go. And I'm on the other side, you know, graduating top university in Ukraine, shifting and finding career overseas. You know, I'm that achiever that is sometimes feeling that it's not enough, it's not enough. So I feel what has been and still going on is that struggle for achievement at one side, and the other one is enjoying the process and, you know, small victories and just movement as it is. But Asian and European cultures are super different, and the speed of things, how change, and you know, how in Asia families are put first above anything else, and hierarchy is very important. Things in Europe in that sense culturally is super different.
Wow, and I'm sure it really opened up so much wisdom as well along the way, that also directly directly affected as well the way that you think. And now that you have moved into Mind Valley, I mean, I remember you sharing us a story that you started as customer support, and then you grew the ranks from one department after another. Luba, before we get into the entire learning about Mind Valley and of course all the experiences that you've been through, what are the crucial components do you think, what are crucial components should a person or should an organization have in order for them to have a transformative company or a transformative way forward?
Yeah, I think my views on that has changed a lot, because I remember first time I heard about Mind Valley, I was a part of a conference, international conference in Kuala Lumpur in 2008, and I saw Vision speak on the stage. And one thing that attracted me at that time was the mission. I really wanted to be a part of something that is more than just making money. And that idea, the why, that Simon Sinek puts it together nicely, I think if you don't answer that question, you will never attract right talent. And that's why it's super important to understand clearly, like, you know, your personal mission and your mission as the company. And second thing that I've learned over the years, I've seen the difference, you know, how my friends were working for some companies where they are not allowed to date someone in the company, or they get punished if they, I don't know, have dinner with someone who is the partner or something like that. Like, it's just, you know, a lot of rules and bureaucracy and things that are not making sense. And that creates your culture, your environment. And Mindvalley is super unique in that sense. And Vishen is coming, his background is coming as well from that same organization I was volunteering for 3 years. It's called ISEC. I'm sure some of you might have heard about it. And one core value that we have within Mindvalley and we had within the ISEC organization was diversity. It's accepting whether you are, you know, lesbian, gay, you're Muslim or Christian, like that there is no difference. And it's not just in, you know, we put it on the your mission statement and it's just in the books. People really live through it. They welcome each other, they celebrate the cultures. And that creates lots of trust. That creates an environment where people feel comfortable. And when you feel comfortable and secure, you perform much more better. So before joining Mindvalley, I had that you know, idea because I was mostly interested in HR and how people develop and what's important to develop their competencies. I thought it's super crucial to focus on developing, you know, a singular human and, you know, get him a coach, send him to a training. But now being in organization for 10 years, going through lots of facilitation programs and training and courses and, you know, coaching companies myself, in creating the environment is actually more fruitful and much more faster way to transform anything than focusing on one single person at a time. If we water the plants in the garden, you know, we are watering everything around it, and it's small organisms as well are getting nutrition from that watering that we are doing. Everything is a connected system. So if you focus on creating trust, if you focus on the dialogue where people discuss where we're going, how we're going, that environment itself becomes that ground, that soil that changes everything. So eventually focusing on one thing, you are transforming the whole organization. And I think Mindvalley succeeds a lot in that sense, where we, you know, pre-select people. So people are filtered by that question. Are they part of this mission? Is it something that they want to contribute their life to or not? And there's people who are, you know, just looking for a job to make money, they're not ending up to be part of organization. So that creativity and people just enjoy coming to work and hang out with friends like them. And that's a part of the community, which is also super important in the era where, you know, social media and all this online communication overtook and people getting polarized views and they don't value each other and they don't have courage to have honest conversation and, you know, all of that. So focusing on the environment is, I think, the top priority, and just to make it work.
Yeah, it's really, really great having to hear all these lovely words and stories from, you know, the Mindvalley crew. It's just a really, really amazing too. Whenever that I get to hear you guys, you know, share a story about the experiences inside and outside, how it changed you, and the number one thing that is constant is culture. Having to have inclusivity and also having to onboard people according to the mission and vision and not just what is written on the board. Because most of the time, the corporate world, we're so used to, oh yeah, the mission vision is just up on the board. So what does that mean? It's just, these are the empty words without action. And it's great too, because it's really, really great. You are the, I think, sixth, seventh person, funnily, the people that who's been on my podcast were all Mindvalley. I was like, oh my goodness, I think my podcasts are now Mindvalley. And they were all sharing about when you choose to work with other person, with other people, you get to have this space of joy instead of working for this person. So it's just that change of word with and for, it's just so different that, yeah, it makes sense. When you work with people, the tendency is you all get to have this united view and also united way forward and how to do things instead of working for the other person, wherein there could be dictatorship, there could be, you know, politics and so that. So thank you so much for letting us know that. I think it's really, really important, especially now that entrepreneurs are growing, entrepreneurs are now scaling, they're now hiring their own people, freelancers are now elevating themselves. And one thing that I would love to also share, which I want to echo from what you said, is come from a place of service and work together rather than just you being the boss of it and then just dictating what is it that they have to do. So thank you so much for sharing that, Lubov. So coming from that space, were there any changes also that happened to you because you came from different backgrounds also, and then you work with Mindvalley and now you are an entrepreneur yourself? What are the greatest learnings that you've picked up on that you're now applying also to your own business?
It's like another lecture for an hour. I feel like, you know, every time you are having that mindfulness in your life, everything you face, like any single conversation, becomes like a learning experience. And for me, the biggest transformation, actually, because Mindvalley transformed me. I wouldn't be who I am without Mindvalley, Christina, that I worked closely for years together. All the events I've done, like, it all transformed me and has, you know, gave me the courage, the honesty, integrity, and gave me the professionalism that I have. So all the experiences are forming us. And the lessons is, I think, one, continuing what I was sharing before, is understanding the goal. And I think that was very important for me in recent years, just to see and get aligned and synced with the team. Because sometimes we, you know, act on things because of our personal passions. And we put so much energy into doing projects, and then we feel burnt out because eventually that was the goal, which was important only for us, not as important for us as the team. So one lesson that I really use at the moment with my team and anything I touch with, anyone I'm consulting, is get alignment. What is your final outcome? And that final outcome is not something like, you know, your strategy for 5 years, where you want to be at the company, you know, like this month, the next 2 weeks, what do you want to create as a result? And make clear that everyone understands it in the same way. Because sometimes, you know, you will set a target of like certain amount of sales or anything else, but people wouldn't understand what it means for them, what they need from that common goal to accomplish themselves to make it happen. And if people will be more talking about it, I think organization would be so much more effective and will be so less unproductive actions. So that was my learning, because first 5 years, I grew really fast to become a CEO of Mindvalley Russian department, where I was, you know, managing the whole whole operations in our Russian speaking market. And looking back, I would give myself a lot of advice on how to manage the company and using that principle of understanding the goals. Other lessons would be is to understand also how you interact with other, with environments around you. I'm not talking about even competitors or customers, but understanding what is happening around the world, because sometimes you can focus on developing a product which is not so relevant anymore, or the market is developing so fast and we live in a business model which is evolving really fast. It's like internet marketing plus education, ed tech, and everything else. So a couple of times we as Mindvalley lost a lot of opportunities by not following through and seeing what's happening in the market, being in our own shelf, in our own box. So that open dialogue as well with everything that's happening around and listening to the customers is another lesson that's important for entrepreneur. And being data driven, I think, is crucial as well. Being super clear of what is your business model and doing things that are important, and that would help you in scaling much more faster. Rather than if you're just reluctant and, you know, continue to do things as usual, not really checking the numbers. So that would be my lessons, the most important ones.
Wow. I mean, I love it that you actually shared about data. Most entrepreneurs are just looking at the monetary and not really having that informed decisions coming from data and also what is happening also outside the world. And I think with the pandemic also happening, sometimes the business model that you thought is working, sometimes you just really have to listen well on, hey, okay, if you are talking about, let's just say, this kind of issue, but that's not the crucial issue that is happening in your space right now, would it make sense to actually talk about this first before that one? And there's so much decisions that's happening. And coming from that space too, I wanted to ask you, you've always been good when it comes to organizing events, organizing a company, piecing things together. I remember when we worked together, we worked so fast. Like the two of us worked really, really fast on putting pieces together. But for other people to get to know more about what is a Mind Valley way and what is a Lyubov way, what do you think are the crucial components as well when it comes to creating a transformative event? Especially now, there's so much virtual events happening, but Zoom boxes is different than the actual one. What are you doing?
Yeah, I think it's like a know-how that I have created within the Mind Valley and had permission to be entrepreneur, you know, within the organization to act on it. So I created this type of transformative event, being inspired by what has happened to me at one of the events I was participating. Sometimes we come to the events with the excuse to learn something. But it's just an excuse. We really come to meet new people and to be moved or shaped or shaked, you know, from our status quo. Like we want that push to happen. So what I have been focusing when I was creating events is adding that line of transformation. So before planning any type of event, I see a point A where the customer is coming from. And, you know, they're feeling a bit of lonely, they feel stuck, they reach the financial ceiling, whatever it is, depending on the event. And I see point B, how we can have the right speakers, which are there more like, you know, attract eyeballs and bring people together. But everything that happens on the stage for me is secondary, because it's mostly the stuff you can find on YouTube later, the content you will hear multiple of times. But I focused mostly what happens after the stage, before the stage, you know, at night. So one of the things I've done before the pandemic hit was event in Istanbul with my partner. We have created like a quest in the city. So instead of being in a conference hall for 3 days, we took all our participants, 250 people, to the center of Istanbul, split them in the groups of 10, and gave them small challenges to solve so they can know each other better, they can find new things about Istanbul and Turkish culture, and most importantly, practice the things that we were talking on the stage the days before. So it was a type of practical application of knowledge, plus opportunity in challenging situations to get to know each other. So it means a deeper bonding. So the concept that's super important at live events is understanding that if live event is creating a community of people, and the more deeper opportunities to connect and interact with each other you will provide, the more successful you can call this event at the end. So adding all these layers of interaction and opportunities that the, you know, geography of the city allows you and you involve it in your plan, the better the results would be. So the transformation, I think it's something that we are missing out a lot when we are doing events, because we are just trying to bring people and speakers, but it's not the main focus. And if we are honest enough to acknowledge it and use other opportunities, we are really on track to create a transformational event.
And you're so good at it. Is there such a thing as a template when it comes to creating a transformative event? I mean, number one, what I've learned from you right now is always think about, okay, what is the transformation or the outcome, of course? And then number two, pattern the outcome according, and then have the right speakers. And then of course, number three, have a personal activity in order for them to have a human connection. Are you enjoying and learning a lot? Let me know.
Hey, I'm breaking my own episode to invite you for your high ticket next level masterclass. If you're a coach or a consultant tired of serving one-on-one clients and ready to have that 4-hour workday without compromising client results, have the work-life integration you've always wanted, and that multiple 6 or 7 figures by creating, selling, and launching your own group coaching program, well, all you gotta do is join us and save your seat. Register through CassieBajarillo.com. I'm so excited to see you and meet you real soon. Now, let's get back to today's episode.
But are these three like in the flow? I mean, of course, you can say, you can decline and not answer this if I'm asking you some top. But yeah.
I think it's a conscious competence that I have. I don't have an outline. I come up with the theme, the theme that would attract people. And for that, you need to know your audience. Like, I know really well for years, my ideal audience, they look for, you know, personal growth. They are like really loving. It's okay if you come and hug someone without warning. So people are open to that. If I come to a bank, like, you know, even a coaching call for them would be, wow, that's a stretch. I'm here like just to work with my paper. So you need to know the culture of the community you're dealing with, what is okay for them and what is not, what their aspiration is. So for us, we know that people look for engagement, they look for friends, sometimes they look for life partners or just business partners. So serving that purpose within the event, creating special occasions. So it's like eventually, you know, very simple. You need to understand the goal and the goal that people that are joining you have and what you can provide as an organizer and create the atmosphere, the structure where all of this can happen. So I think that's a formula eventually, but all the steps are different depending on, you know, if it's 200 people event or 6,000 people event or 10 people event, it would be different, the steps inside.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. I hope that those who are listening and are creating community events, I hope that you put in mind as well all those notes that Lyubov just shared, and it plays really a crucial role in terms of building a community, especially now. Community is now such a buzzword. Everybody would say, build a community, but what does a community really mean? With you, with all the things that you have done, of course, Mindvalley and your personal endeavor, what does community mean to you, Lyubov?
Let's take an example to understand the difference. If we talk about influencer having the audience, that's not a community. It's one-to-many interaction. Community is something where we have interaction between the members in the community itself. So when there is interaction which is started with community member, not with the leader of the community, then we can call this group a community. They also have a shared goal. They have shared rules, values, mission. They have something that unites them. They have like maybe an enemy they are going against. Like in my outfit community, it would be like a food industry. Like we really don't agree with how things are happening there, and all our practices, we are bringing up a different type of behavior and choices. So that would be a difference for a community.
Okay. Thanks so much. I love that part wherein you said that the leader is not the one who is actually leading, but rather the other people are the ones who is giving value for the rest of the other people who's also inside the circle. Pretty good.
So they carry something they identify themselves with. They stand for something, like every single individual. They're not, just reluctantly watching. They have an opinion, they have a stand, they act on it. They embody it, so that's important.
Yeah, but don't you ever had any imposter syndrome? I mean, knowing that you have been handling a global company, like how did you actually handle the pressure, the differences, everything in between?
Yeah, I think I'm still not over it. I was, as my mentor would say, at one point, I was very shy extrovert. I'm glad I overcame it. And being a part of such a company which promotes, lifelong learning, I've been experimenting a lot of different things that helped me to grow. And, some of them are practices like meditation as a beginning, or different courses that I took myself. But they were not so powerful as I was getting wiser with the age. And I realized that, listening to the courses, it's like, you know, they're repeating the same thought, but the more I'm understanding and focusing on my internal role, the more I can change. So few breakthrough points for me to find that imposter syndrome was joining the public speaking course, where I just healed my shy extrovert and enjoy being on stage, jumping on interviews like this, and understanding that by sharing my experience and being honest in it, I'm actually helping others to see how they can change themselves. We are just thinking that, oh, it's not interesting for anyone, but that's how I grew as a personality. I was just listening to other people's stories, how they overcame a challenge or how they fight that, you know, a situation where they need to fire someone. I learned from listening how other people doing it and hearing different opinions, different scenarios, how things could happen. I can come up with how I want to do it. But without listening to those stories, it's very different to see the truth eventually. So I see the truth is like this hologram that has multiple angles, and depending, you know, on lights and everything, it's never enough to know one opinion. Like, you need to know always different opinions. Understand that it's very subjective no matter what you do. So the best thing you could do is just to listen to everyone and act on what feels right for you, for yourself. So the public speaking course was a breakthrough for me, just to heal that extrovert that was shy for years. And other thing that was super important is just getting married. I think that relationship is the best training in life. And with a stranger that you never met before, you're creating a family, and now I have two kids. You go through a lot of challenges together, and that's a healing journey and also self-discovery journey on its own. And again, what saves us being together is the ability to talk through, be honest, speak, never hide emotions. Like right now, we are apart for 3 months because of the pandemic. He's stuck in Asia, he cannot join us. And it's very difficult. But we are talking, we are calling each other every day, and, you know, sharing our struggles. He's lonely there. I'm lonely, not so lonely here, but still we are apart. It's still a challenge. And the third thing that is super important is a therapy. I've been in a therapy for the last 2 years or even more. It's one-on-one meetings 2 times a week, where I'm just able to sort all the shadows that I have in me, you know, acknowledge them, accept them, and understand that, yeah, Luba sometimes can be that angry woman who is like anxious about something, she's not satisfied, and that's okay. And learning to express it and being honest to myself, that's the deepest, most painful and courageous work I've done, but which gave me the most peace with myself. And I can see how through accepting myself, like, you know, they say always, and I really feel it now, what it means. If you save yourself, you save the world. So the more you work on yourself, you're actually helping everyone else around you. And that helps a lot.
Yeah, so beautiful. Wow, I didn't know that you actually went through therapy. Is it just recently?
I'm still going, and it's not because I'm sick or, you know, I'm in depression or something else. Like, it's a process. The world right now in a crisis, in self-care crisis, we are so different with the appearance of social media. I look at my child and I remember my childhood, and the changes we went in these 15 years is just insane for our mental health. And we don't acknowledge it. We don't pay attention to it. But every time we scroll through a social media and we feel that someone has done more and they're showing some part of our life that we are thinking we should deserve too, it transforms us. Like, we are not that homo sapiens anymore, you know, we are homo something else right now, because we are constantly not only living in the physical world, we are also living in a social world, and that changes our health drastically, and we need to take care of this. And I can't imagine to do it without the therapy.
It's different. I wanted to echo on what you just said, that we're homo sapiens, not homo something else. We're becoming into human doing rather than human being. And thank you for also sharing that, this vulnerable piece of yours. And I think it's really important to normalize and to just you know, I mean, just to accept that when people actually ask for help, it's actually okay. That it doesn't mean you have to be sick in order for you to ask for help. It's sometimes we just need to process. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. But Lyubov, what drove you to asking for that help? I mean, what was the epitome?
My mom is a therapist herself. She went through 20 years of therapy herself, because as a practicing therapist, she needed to be supervised and with clients. So I had like side by side inspiration in a way. Then my sister started going through it. And then when I started my business, I noticed how I'm repeating and mirroring everything that was happening, how I was managing the business within Mindvalley into managing the business with my team and my partner. And I really didn't like it. I thought it's like, you know, very stereotypical, and I was behaving and was not fair at some points. And I decided to dig deeper. So that was a trigger to go into the therapy itself. But of course, I worked on so many different other things. We were trying to conceive our second child for years. And eventually we succeeded, but it was like a long journey. And I think therapy as well was a big breakthrough for me to understand what was stopping me unconsciously from that action in my life, and lots of trust issues, and you know, everything is relationships, so that's a hard work. I'm still doing it, and I'm in a big breakthrough right now as well, so yeah, it's a continuous fun journey.
Yeah, and you know, I haven't shared this to you, but I remember Kali is the name of her husband. When he shared something about when Lyuva is doing her own thing, I let her shine and let her do her own thing, and I will take the wheel in terms of being in corporate. Or if it's his time to actually grow his own entrepreneurial path, you're the one who's actually in corporate or doing something else and unifying each other. Okay, I'll let you glow over here, and then when it's my turn, support me too. I remember he said that, and it really struck me. Because at the time, we were newly married, right? Raymond and I were newly married. We were just 2 months in. And I was like, I don't know how am I going to, you know, handle marriage, especially I come from a family that's a little dysfunctional. And I don't want to repeat the mistake for at least those of I don't want to, you know, I mean, don't want to replicate from those experiences that I had. So thank you for sharing about this, this therapy. And I just wanted to say that you guys are doing well, I guess, from what I've learned and what I've heard from Khalid as well, and him being so drunk and funny, so that's something else. But thank you for sharing that. So Lyubov, you're right. Being an entrepreneur and also being married really changes a lot of things, and it's a total different ballgame altogether. Before we end in this this episode, I have a couple more questions. Tell us more about this coaching business that you have, because you came from Mindvalley, you've experienced, you've become a CEO, you've become, you know, the top organizer, helping Christina, so many things that happened in your life, married, 2 children, that's another leadership altogether. And now you're coming from a space of therapy, forgiveness, healing, and then now, of course, your coaching business. And that's another facet of your life. So maybe walk us through just a little bit. What is this endeavor that you're actually doing? And what made you decide to actually go for it? Any superwoman, where is time? How do you juggle?
Yes, that question about the time always comes to me. And my number one question is getting aligned of what's important for you. And, you know, once you see what's your final goal, the how comes easily. So that's everything is, you know, is easy to figure out once you know why and what you're trying to do. And being a manager and, you know, seeing the business only through numbers, I always was getting that dissatisfaction of not being in touch with people. So then events came in and, I was in touch with the people. But now I evolved to a different level where I want to create a transformation for people constantly. That's how the coaching part came in. And it's just passion. It just fills me in. I don't feel like it's a work. Like, you know, I have some clients in Asia right now and I need to wake up 6 a.m. in the morning, but I wake up 5:30 without alarm just because I'm so excited to serve them. And it's like a part of me that wants to do it. I can't just stop it. You know, once you tap into that, what you want to do, you can constantly feel in the flow. And for me, that evolution of starting my business and being a coach myself is a way to create more value for people and help them transition, because eventually I was the first one to went that path. With my first baby, I'm super tired. I didn't have energy to do anything. After I have changed my relationship with food, I had so much creativity flowing, so much energy. I had that things that I was hiding on the shelf with all the lists and dreams I want to do, and then I just had time and resources to act on it. And I feel that for entrepreneur, energy is the biggest source, and food is stealing it in many ways. And we really underestimate how much food influences on everything in our life, from our mental health, emotional, you know, ability to make decisions, you know, how we behave ourselves with treat our children. Like, it affects everything. So I'm trying to help people to find that resourceful states for changing their relationship with food, and that's part of my mission. But I also have lots of other projects, so I found how to put them all in the same on the same plate and enjoy life in a way where I have variety of different things, because it's also a type of my personality. I'm not like someone who can work in the bank, you know, check the spreadsheets, calculate numbers. I need like work for me, it's when I can switch different tasks. And if it's like the same boring task, I don't feel I have, you know, contributed something. I haven't felt like self-realized. So understanding myself, and it was part of therapy to see that, okay, for me to get the satisfaction from life and my professional life, I need the variety of things. So I keep it in the way where I have the coaching business, I still have my work that I do for Mind Valley, and hopefully the events will be back as well, so I can keep in touch with humans in real life.
Oh, and we can have you back in here. So Luba, how do you empower yourself, and how do you actually empower your mentees, clients, or students?
I feel I have the technology that I have shared with you, that transformation part, where anything I do, I create an environment so people don't feel they're alone with the change they need to face. I'm not a therapist. I would love to maybe learn one day to be a therapist, but I feel my superpower is connecting people. Yeah. So anyone who becomes a part of my network, we are creating this ecosystem that we are serving each other constantly. And I think you are one of the receiver too, in a way. And that's what I want my clients to experience. So when they learn to be in a trusting environment, they change themselves, and then they are able to create a trusting environment with anything they face, whether they're family or team members, or, you know, the company they're going to create. They would be that new human that knows how to build relationship with themselves, with others. So I bring that piece of transformation in my coaching business. So I always lead not one-on-one clients, but at least two people at a time, so they could experience how environment can change them.
Yeah, you are the gatekeeper of a lot of opportunities. Whenever people ask me, hey, Kasi, do you know anyone who may know this person? I'm like, okay, let me ask Luba. And it worked both ways, right? So we, and I truly believe that when you create an ecosystem, there's no such a thing as being selfish. I think we are really hotwired. Well, not really hotwired, but we were hotwired into this space where you are in part of this community, so you have to be a protector of this community. But what I learned from you, from Mind Valley as well, the culture of generosity, the law of reciprocity, is really apparent. And I noticed too that the culture that was fostered, and which you also exemplify and has led us up until now, we're all like still in touch with each other, supporting each other, always a phone call away. And I think that is the strong bond that you actually create, that you were able to put together. And yes, I totally agree that it's your superpower. So one more thing. So Luba, a lot of people are listening, especially women are listening right now. Whether they're entrepreneurs, they're about to transition their life, their mothers like you. Maybe can you walk us through actionable steps that a person can do in order for them to change their life, in order for them to also change another person's life? What do you think are the steps that they should take?
Okay. That's a very complex question.
I love you.
Yeah. I start with changing yourself. like especially mothers and women. I've learned this a long way, being, you know, where I started from a workaholic culture, and I'm still healing my workaholic. If I healed my shy extrovert, my inner workaholic is still struggling, is creating a space for yourself. And self-care, self-love, like anything you can learn on that, and practices you can start with, that's super important. When you are in a resourceful state, you can create anything. When you are tired, angry, sleepy, don't know what you want, you are not going to lead anyone anywhere, especially yourself. So like, you really need to focus on yourself, and that comes really hard. And that's what I see always working with clients. My mostly clients are women. They are ready to serve and help everyone around them but them. Even my journey to becoming a coach on WildFit started with, first I sent my mom to go through the program. Then I started to see that, okay, I'm doing something wrong, how I feed my child, like, you know, looking for rules around that. And then only I looked at myself. So like, really, you are a role model and example. Like, start with yourself and create the life. Like, you know, your children wants to model, will inspire people around you. And that, most importantly, it's like the life that you desire for yourself. It's not like you read, okay, start your morning with 15 minutes of meditation. But if meditation doesn't work, don't start the morning with 15 minutes of meditation. Find something like, I don't know, that would work for you. It's just, you know, sitting in silence for 15 minutes, or just taking a hot shower, or going for a walk, or just whatever it would be, but something that suits you and fills you in and give you that resourceful state. I think, again, just saving yourself, you will save the world. So focus on being you, and everything else will follow.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing again, Lyubov. Such beautiful words and actionable steps. And I totally agree too. When you start taking great care of yourself, it's actually not selfish. When you dive into happiness, which I've been, you know, what I've learned from you as we end this episode, when you are happy, you get to change also your surroundings. I think it just really goes hand in hand. And if there's anything that you think is not right for you, always ask for help, and it's totally okay. So thank you so much for transforming us, for transforming also all those lives that you have helped. You were able to put together, you play a huge pivotal role in making this entire ecosystem happen. So again, I don't know if people have thank you enough, Lyubov, but I hope that this simple thank you will also, you know, bring that spark back to you, especially when the events happen again. And hopefully we get to have you here in Vision, and of course, Christine. So thank you so much, Lyubov. All right. So where can they find you? How can they find you? How do they get to work with you? Any words?
You can find the links under this episode. Look for Lyubov Shlapai on Instagram or LinkedIn. Connect with me. Ask for help. Ask for recommendations. I'm, you know, that open book and generous in the way I can serve anyone. And welcome new friends anytime. Thank you.
That's true. Just the message away. I'm definitely going to add your details on the show notes as well. All right. So this ends today's episode. Do drop me a message, everyone, on Instagram or on LinkedIn. It's Cassie Pajarillo, or be part of the Ambitious Tribe Inner Circle for coaches and consultants on Facebook. Do let us know what you've picked up on today's episode, and we'd love to feature you. Again, this is your chief encourager, Cassie. Drive ambition, serve love, and remember to take great care of yourself always, and the transformation definitely will happen. Thanks again.
Thank you.
You just finished listening to another episode of the Ambitious Tribe podcast by Cassie Pajarillo. If you liked today's episode, make sure to leave Cassie a review on iTunes and share this podcast with your friends on social media. It's also available on Spotify and Google Podcast. Don't forget to tag Cassie Pajarillo on Instagram or message her straight on LinkedIn. You may also head over to the Ambitious Tribe with a Plan Facebook group and be encouraged by soul-aligned and ambitious humans on the planet. Remember, you can definitely build a better business.